1000 Word Philosophy, an introductory anthology presents John Rawls' A Theory of Justice by Ben Davies. Word count 999. Some people are multibillionaires, others die because they are too poor to afford food or medications. In many countries, people are denied rights to free speech, to participate in political life, or to pursue a career because of their gender, religion, race, or other factors, while their fellow citizens enjoy these rights. In many societies, what best predicts your future income or whether you will attend college is your parents' income. To many, these facts seem unjust. Others disagree. Even if these facts are regrettable, they aren't issues of justice. A successful theory of justice must explain why clear injustices are unjust and help us resolve current disputes. John Rawls, 1921-2002, was a Harvard philosopher best known for his A Theory of Justice, 1971, which attempted to define a just society. Nearly every contemporary scholarly discussion of justice references A Theory of Justice. This essay reviews its main themes. 1. The original position and veil of ignorance. Reasonable people often disagree about how to live, but we need to structure society in a way that reasonable members of that society can accept. Citizens could try to collectively agree on basic rules. We needn't decide every detail. We might only worry about rules concerning major political and social institutions, like the legal system and economy, which form the basic structure of society. A collective agreement on the basic structure of society is an attractive ideal. But some people are more powerful than others, some may be wealthier, or part of a social majority. If people can dominate negotiations because of qualities that are, as Rawls, 72-75, puts it, morally arbitrary, that is wrong. People don't earn these advantages, they get them by luck. For anyone to use these unearned advantages to their own benefit is unfair, and the source of many injustices. This inspires Rawls' central claim that we should conceive of justice as fairness. To identify fairness, Rawls, 120, develops two important concepts, the original position and the veil of ignorance. The original position is a hypothetical situation. Rawls asks what social rules and institutions people would agree to. Not in an actual discussion, but under fair conditions, where nobody knows whether they are advantaged by luck. Fairness is achieved through the veil of ignorance, an imagined device where the people choosing the basic structure of society, deliberators, have morally arbitrary features hidden from them. Since they have no knowledge of these features, any decision they make can't be biased in their own favor. Deliberators aren't ignorant about everything, though. They know they are self-interested, i.e., want as much as possible of what Rawls calls primary goods, things we want, no matter what our ideal life looks like. They are also motivated by a minimal sense of justice. They will abide by rules that seem fair. If others do too. They also know basic facts about science and human nature. 2. Rawls's principles of justice. Rawls thinks a just society will conform to rules that everyone would agree to in the original position. Since they are deliberating behind the veil of ignorance, people don't know their personal circumstances, or even their view of a good life. This affects the kinds of outcomes they will endorse. Example, it would be irrational for deliberators to agree to a society where only Christians have property rights, since if, when the veil is lifted, they turn out not to be Christian, that will negatively affect their life prospects. Similarly, deliberators presumably won't choose a society with racist, sexist, or other unfairly discriminatory practices, since beyond the veil, they might end up on the wrong side of these policies. This gives rise to Rawls' first principle of justice: all people have equal claims to as much freedom as is consistent with everyone else having the same level of freedom. Rawls further claims that, because their ignorance includes an ignorance of probabilities, deliberators would be extremely cautious and apply what he calls a maximum principle. They will aim to ensure that the worst possible position they could end up in is as good as possible in terms of primary goods. If we imagine ourselves as deliberators, we might be tempted by the idea of total equality in primary goods. This ensures, at least, that nobody will be better off than you for arbitrary reasons. However, some inequality might be useful. The possibility of earning more might incentivize people to work harder, growing the economy, and so increasing the total amount of available wealth. This isn't a wholehearted endorsement of capitalism, as Rawls' second principle, which addresses social and economic inequalities, makes clear. The second principle has two parts. First, people in the original position will tolerate inequalities only if the jobs that pay more aren't assigned unfairly. This gives us the ideal of fair equality of opportunity. Inequalities are allowed only if they arise through jobs that equally talented people have equal opportunity to get. This requires, for instance, that young people receive roughly equal educational opportunities. Otherwise, a talented individual might be held back by a lack of basic knowledge either about their own talents or about the world. Second, since their reasoning is governed by the Maximin principle, deliberators will only tolerate inequalities that benefit the worst off, since, as far as they know, they might be the worst off. This maximizes the quality of their worst possible outcome. This is called the difference principle. These principles are ordered, which tells us what to do if they clash. Equal liberty is most important, then fair opportunity, and finally the difference principle. So, neither freedoms nor opportunity are governed by the difference principle. 3. Conclusion. We can now see how Rawls' theory might evaluate the issues raised earlier. At least within specific societies, each seems to violate his basic principles of justice, and so would be condemned as unjust. So, even if we ultimately reject Rawls' approach, it at least seems to offer intuitively correct answers in several important cases, and for plausible reasons. About the author, Ben completed his PhD in philosophy at King's College London in 2015. He is currently a research assistant in applied ethics at the University of Oxford's Wahiro Centre. He works mainly on moral and political issues in healthcare, as well as animal ethics, and why death is really bad. www.bendavies-philosophy.com. Follow 1000 Word Philosophy on Facebook, Twitter, and subscribe to receive email notifications of new essays at 1000wordphilosophy.com.